On the Book Show with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
Welcome to a very special On the Bookshelf. Today, it's for Mother's Day, and to talk to us is Shane Moore, who's the co-chair of the Board of Directors of Growers First. As a member of the World Vision Speakers Bureau, she works closely with World Vision Women of Vision, World Relief, and the One Campaign, and she's the author of Global Soccer Mom. Her co-author is Kimberly McOwen Kim, the founder of the San Clemente of Abolitionists in California. Their new book is Refuse to Do Nothing, Finding Your Power to Abolish Modern-Day Slavery. It's from InterVarsity Press, IVP Crescendo, to be more specific. And Shane, thank you so much for being with us today on the bookshelf.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
It was only a few years ago when I had the opportunity to interview one of the founders of International Justice Mission that I began to realize what a global problem human trafficking has become. And your book states something that I've read in other books also, and that is that slavery is worse now. There are more people held in bondage now than at any time in human history, including the worst times during the African slave trade.
Yeah, you know, that statistic really struck me when I first started waking up to this issue. And, you know, I'm from Illinois. I live outside of Chicago. You know, we're the land of Abraham Lincoln. You know, we're raised with a lot of education that slavery was abolished. And but the reality is it is illegal everywhere in the world, and yet it thrives. It is a billion-dollar criminal industry today.
Mm. Sadly enough, there are plenty of people who are willing to sell children, or children can be stolen, women can be stolen, can be kidnapped, can be coerced, and they keep making money as long as they're alive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is how evil and greed has become today, and how much our view and value of human life is down in certain people's minds and certain parts of the world, that, you know, these cartels have figured out that, you know, if you use a drug, you use it once, it's gone. But if you have a person, that person can be used over and over again. And I think it's important to note, and we talk about this in the book, Refuse to Do Nothing, that, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of slavery that are thriving in the world today. So, yes, sex trafficking is a very big problem. But here in our own backyards, you know, there's labor slavery where people are working. There's in our supply chains and some of our products that come from different parts of the world. And, I mean, it's a pretty vast problem with a very intricate network. And what my co-author and I tried to do in Refuse to Do Nothing was we wanted to make this overwhelming topic accessible. You know, we're just ordinary moms. I mean, I was blessed to be a stay-at-home mom, and, you know, I woke up to this issue through a friend. It was my co-author, Kim, who just started telling me about, did you know? And, you know, you can feel very overwhelmed by this issue. You know, our own lives are very busy, and, you know, how can we possibly make a difference? How can I, you know, come against a cartel or sex trafficking of children in Cambodia? You know, and so in the book, we really break it down, and we really tried to make it very accessible, where every chapter educates, but every chapter also has a very tangible thing that anybody can do to start being a modern-day abolitionist.
And honestly, the situation is 27 million people enslaved today, estimated. 80% of them are women and children, and that sex slavery is the largest part of that, but there is also debt bondage, as Shane has said. And a fair amount of that debt bondage type stuff goes on in the United States. Now, sadly enough, so does some of the sex slavery. At least sex slavery is illegal, but the debt bondage, that is to say, agricultural workers who are paid under the table or brought into smuggled into the country and told, we're holding on to your papers and you can't do anything unless we say you can do it. This is flourishing in Florida, my home state, because right. In Florida they passed a law essentially saying, well, anybody that comes here as a transient worker, we're not going to look into it much. This is changing, but this is the way the situation was for a long time.
Right, and what we try to talk about and what we're trying to do is mobilize ordinary citizens to understand these things and understand that this is happening sometimes right in our own backyards with the products we bring into our homes. And, you know, we define slavery. We offer a definition of it in the book, which is basically, you know, are people free to leave? But beyond that, it's Do they have their papers, like what you mentioned? Do they have their identifying papers? Do they have their passports? You know, are they being paid? Do they have access to food, education? You know, there's a lot of ways that people's freedom is taken from them. And as you said, you know, I have three children. And as a mother, it just broke my heart that these are someone's children. You know, for instance, chocolate. We talk about chocolate in the book.
Yes.
And where most of the chocolate comes from is the Ivory Coast. 70% of the Western world's chocolate comes from the Ivory Coast. And most of those chocolate plantations are run by children who are not being paid, they are not being educated, and they are not free to leave. This is not just child labor. They are not free to leave. They are not fed properly. They're not being educated. And you know, it's just a horrific reality, and we talk about it in the book, like, put pressure on your companies, on Hershey's, on these places that you're buying chocolate from, and as moms who control the economies in our homes, I mean, we buy the groceries, we buy the clothes and the electronics for our families, we have a lot more power than we realize, and if we really just start getting educated and putting pressure on companies, and you know, it's real simple as much as, you know, it can be making a phone call or signing a petition or sending a letter. And like I said, we really try to make these actions very accessible for people, for moms that really can't imagine that any child would live in any kind of a condition of slavery.
I was fascinated by the whole situation with chocolate because, frankly, this shows how little I know about where things originate. I thought most chocolate came from South America. I had no idea that more of it came from Africa, and certainly no idea that it all came from this one little country. Where there is greed, slavery will exist.
Where there is poverty, that is also where slavery is existing in our world today. Is we can't wrap our heads, as a mom, I can't wrap my head around selling my daughter to a group or letting my daughter go with a group of people who come through my village promising a good job and she'll send home money to you. And you know what? These people know. They're not ignorant. I mean, they know that slavery and this kind of labor exists. You know, but it is when they, you know, these poor, poor countries that surround the Ivory Coast, they have nothing. They have no food. They have no natural resources themselves. You know, and that breaks my heart, is the poverty that spurs on, you know, a normal parent thinking, you know, wanting to believe this lie that, okay, maybe this time there's a real job on the other end of it. Maybe this time my daughter's not going to get sold into a brothel. And if she comes back in 5 years, she's destroyed and she's ashamed to us. You know, I mean, it's such a sad story. And as American women, as American moms, I really often in the book and when I speak, I tell people, I'm like, ladies, moms, we have to start getting thick skin and keep our tender hearts because this stuff is happening. And 27 million people, that's a big number. And we can face this. We can deal with it. This is the reality of people in the world. And we can actually do very tangible things. We don't have to be on the front lines. We can do tangible things from our own kitchens.
Well, getting back to the chocolate, and we won't stay on chocolate too much, but I was just amazed at some of the things that you guys did to let the companies know, we're not going to buy chocolate if it's coming from factories, and you don't have any idea whether or not those factories are employing child labor. And when you guys first started on this, you got letters from everybody but Hershey, I think, that said, oh, you know, that's awful. We're going to look into that. And then a couple years later, you know, it's still awful. We're still going to look into that. And after almost 10 years of putting things off, nothing much had changed. And then all of these abolitionist mamas went working together and wrote these companies and said, okay, we're not going to buy your chocolate anymore. We can buy chocolate somewhere else from companies that we know actually care about their workers. I remember all the brouhaha that came out a couple of years ago when different celebrities are selling lines of clothing and then they find out that these are made in sweatshops overseas. As there should be a brouhaha. But where's the public outcry? I haven't heard anything about chocolate being produced by child slaves. Where's the media?
It's been kind of on the periphery. It's been kind of on the sidelines. But I am happy to report that enough abolitionist mamas have pitched a fit that just, I want to say, within the past few months, Hershey's did release an announcement that all of their products are going to be documented slave-free. All of their chocolate will be documented. Because they came out with, like, one line of sort of a slave-free brand of chocolate. And I think people are like, seriously? A line of slavery? Like, that's not good enough. It's all or nothing. You know, zero tolerance for slavery in the world. And so, you know, there are companies that are excellent at this, Apple, Gap, that are very, very good and transparent about their supply chains. And, you know, I tell women all the time, I say, you know, when you make it an economic issue, when you hurt the companies, you know, when you hurt them where it matters economically, you have power. I mean, that's why the subtitle of the book is Finding Your Power to Abolish Modern Day Slavery. You have power of what you buy and what you don't buy. And, you know, when you start boycotting products or putting pressure on companies, they will listen because they want to sell their product. And there's a lot of power when we mobilize together.
I also think this is something, and I realize that we're doing this show, and in case you're just joining us, by the way, we're talking to Shane Moore, who's the co-author, along with Kimberly McOwen Kim, of Refuse to Do Nothing, Finding Your Power to Abolish Modern Day Slavery, from IVP Crescendo, which is an imprint of InterVarsity Press. I also think that we need to get the guys rallying about this, because the horrible truth of the matter is that it's men that are going to foreign countries or going to places in the United States and are buying women for their sexual pleasure. You quote Victor Malarik, the author of The Johns, Sex for Sale and the Men Who Buy It. Sex trafficking is more than enslavement. It is modern day sexual terrorism. When men in your family go out, or men that you are friends with, guys, go out and they come back from a vacation and brag about the women that they met there, you have to be less naive. Women don't go to be sex slaves, don't go into prostitution and massage parlors and all the other various and sundry ways that they use escort services and oversee brides and everything else. They don't do that because they want to have more sex. They do that because they didn't have a choice.
I think that one of the biggest lies that has ever run through humanity is that prostitution is a victimless crime.
And Absolutely.
As society, we've just kind of bought that lie, or we've bought the lie that, oh, boys will be boys, you know, and as parents, as husbands, as mothers, you know, it really does start in our own homes. It really does. It starts with how men are taught to view women, and not just women they know, but all women, and even women in parts of the country they will never go. That if they hear those kind of stories of, you know, Western men flying to Cambodia and ordering, you know, girls off a sex menu, which is rampant on the streets, that there's no tolerance for that. That men everywhere have absolutely no tolerance for that, because that could be their mother, their sister, their daughter. You know, and absolutely, men and women, we have got to just rally and absolutely put an end to this. You know, in our own culture, we need to start facing that we have some pretty twisted views on, you know, on sex for sale. And I'm here to tell you exactly what you said. You're really naive. You know, if you're going, you know, one of the biggest places in our own country where sex trafficking occurs is around large football sporting events like the Super Bowl.
Right.
And it happens in the hotels around those large sporting events. And men, you're very naive. If you end up in a hotel room with your friends who are partying, you know, and there's women there, you're very naive if you think those women are there because they want to be there or that they are free to leave.
Right.
That they are free to leave. And that's almost more the bigger issue, is how are they exploited to get there in the first place? And now that they're there and they have pimps there that are terrorists over them, are they free to leave? Just for your entertainment, for your, you know, your kicks. I mean, it's to use the word evil, but it is. It really is pure evil. And in our own backyards, in our own metropolitan areas, that we really can't turn away from it, and we have to face it in our own groups of friends and in our own families.
Writing this book as Christian women, I'm talking to you as a Christian man. Of course, this is not just limited to Christians being opposed to it, but right. There's nothing wrong with us saying we're opposed to this because we believe that all people are created in the image of God, and therefore it's wrong to sell children to be abused by other people, yeah, because God tells us it's wrong. It's okay for us to stand up and say that. I remember a couple of years ago when there was a song that won the Academy Award for Best Song from a Movie, and it was a song about pimps. And I thought, we are really hitting an all-time low. It would have been better to give away no Oscar at all if there was no decent song that was being released. And I think about the great songs that have won Oscars in the past, and this piece of trash is considered now a great song, along with Over the Rainbow and other wonderful pieces of music. That was really another one of those moments that just grabbed you and said, something is terribly wrong with our culture, and you need to do something about it.
Yeah, and I really do believe that we all have individual power, and you know that it can seem like an incredibly daunting topic. You know, I mean, because even just in this short conversation you and I have had, I mean, what, we've touched on it all over the world, you know, sex trafficking in Cambodia to chocolate in, you know, in the Ivory Coast to right here in our own metropolitan areas around large sporting events. I mean, it really is such an insidious criminal activity, and, you know, who are we to make a difference? And like I said, you know, we obviously don't, in our book, we obviously don't want anyone to put themselves in harm's way, but what we do is we educate very clearly, this is what slavery looks like today. This is modern day slavery, you know, and then here are resources for you to get involved, whether it's plugging in with organizations near you, whether it's the human trafficking hotline that you can call if you have a question or, you know, or tips, or you need resources, or you want to know about the, you know, the anti-trafficking coalitions in your own area. I mean, that's one thing we really try to do, is that this book is more than a sad story. It's more than just breaking your heart. Like, every single chapter has really tangible things that you, that anyone can do.
There's one chapter entitled Who's Buying that talks about in Sweden in 1998, the purchase of sex acts was criminalized in Sweden. We usually think of Europe as being wide open, but Sweden, all those years ago, made it illegal for men to buy the services of women for sex. Within 4 years of the law's passing, I'm quoting the authors, Shane Moore, who's with us today, and her co-author, Kimberly McOwen, again. Within 4 years of the law's passing, the number of women working in the sex trade in Sweden had been cut in half. 10 years later, only 500 or so women were trafficked a year. A huge decrease. There are places in the United States where buying sexual favors is illegal, at least to the point of your name gets put in the newspaper and you get embarrassed about it. I'm not sure, is it illegal everywhere in the United States? Because I'm kind of wondering.
Well, I mean, I don't think it. I mean, I think it's legal in Las Vegas, right? I mean,
right.
You know, which is just absolutely blows my mind. And the thing, one of my favorite organizations, and Kim and I write about this, is International Justice Mission.
Me too.
And they talk a lot about why it is absolutely important to not only, if countries don't have laws, that the laws are created in those countries, and then that the pimps and the Johns are both prosecuted, that they are caught and they are prosecuted. And IJM is such a great organization because they tell story after story about how, I mean, I think there was one in Indonesia, this amazing story where, you know, they did the raids on the brothels, they arrested the pimps, and they prosecuted them. And I think they only prosecuted like 90 or something. I mean, it was a pretty low number for the population of the town. But just that raid and that action of zero tolerance, they are prosecuted, they are going to jail. This large metropolitan area of millions of people will not tolerate trafficking children. All of the criminals got up and left town. And it went down like 75% in this one city in Indonesia. You know, and so, I keep saying this, it seems like such a daunting topic, but really, there are people that are doing it, and there are effective ways to stop this, to fight it, that you can come alongside with your resources, your time, your energy, just educating other people, educating yourself. I mean, we really have to refuse to do nothing, and we can.
Now, here's a topic. Let's talk about, for just a moment, the curse of the Congo. That is to say, what's been going on in the Congo over the last several decades, and the horrible destruction and the child soldiers and so forth. Fill us in on that a little bit.
Yeah, Congo is such a dark place, I believe, in the world today. A lot of war and a lot of atrocities go on there. You know, it's rated as the worst place to be a woman in the world. You know, I think it's like one in two women have been raped. Rape is a weapon. It's a form of their war, of weapons and war. And how it relates to slavery is, I think a lot of people, I didn't know this until my co-author educated me, that the mineral that's in your cell phone that makes it vibrate, that mineral, that's a mineral that does that. That mineral is mined in Congo. So you're, in essence, carrying slavery around with you all day, every day.
Mm.
And how that mineral is being mined is it's being mined by child labor that are child slaves. They're not being educated. They're not being fed. They're being abused. They're not free to leave. And then many, many wars break out over these mines that are also very obviously valuable. And so, again, you know, Apple is an electronics company that, you know, has, you know, said that they are slave-free. And as consumers, we have to stay on top of them, that is actually true, that they can trace their supply line. You know, but electronics all over the world have that mineral that makes your cell phone buzz. And so just little things like that that we don't realize, that slavery is in every mall in America. It's all around us.
There are places that you can go. You've got websites you can go to buy things that are guaranteed not to involve children, or slaves, I should say, in the production of them. TradeAsOne.com, Rigi, R-I-J-I, Green.com, Punjamis.com, iSanctuary.org, and LaughBrand.com. All of these websites are places where smart shoppers can go, and they have, not only do you get good deals, you can also help fight sex slavery and debt slavery and childhood soldiers by dealing with sites like these and others that are mentioned in the book, Refuse to Do Nothing. There's power that we have as ordinary people, that women have, that men have, purchasing power, relationship power, advocacy power, the power of prayer. These things are available to all of us, but we just have to be willing to step out and to use them. What are some ways that people can, because you've got a list toward the end of the book of things that people can do that will allow them to get others involved, and that's a large part of it too, isn't it?
You know, we really try to focus on the power that each individual has, and, you know, the power of relationship is very significant. We all have our spheres of influence, you know, starting in our own homes with our own children. The culture of global awareness in our own homes is incredibly important. You know, like I said, I learned about the severity of modern-day slavery through my friend. She was a friend from college, and she started calling me, and we tell that story in the book where she just was, like, hounding me. You have to hear this. And, you know, so you can start educating your friends and starting doing things together. And there's, you know, it doesn't have to be brutal. I mean, I have a lot of friends that have started these things called Justice Book Clubs, and their book clubs now start to revolve around books that have to do with justice and mercy in the world. And, you know, from our books, Refuse to Do Nothing, to, you know, there's tons of great books out there, you know, Richard Stern's Hole in Our Gospel. I mean, there's a lot of great books that will keep you busy for a long time and will start, break your heart and start great conversations and spur in you what you may do to truly make a difference. And, you know, we have power in our consumerism, and we talk about that in the book. We have those resources at the back of the book of our favorite organizations and our favorite websites of easy, tangible things that you can do. So you mentioned Trade is One, and I personally am signed up for my subscription, my Trade of One subscription, and I get a box every few months full of food that is for sure slave-free. And it can range from chocolate to rice and beans to, I got some lip gloss, my other packet. So, you know, there's really tangible things where we can redirect some of our spending to places that we know have a slave-free footprint. And so, and another thing we talk about is advocacy. You have power as an advocate. And that's one of the things that fires me up is I can go to my congressman. I mean, not everyone's going to want to do that, but I love it. I show up in my representative's office, and I'm like, I'm here again, and I still care about the anti-trafficking legislation, and I still want you to support it. You know, so there really is a place for everybody, no matter who you are, where you are in life, what gifts you have, you know, but prayer is huge. I mean, we talk about that in the book, that we met with a Representative Christopher Smith, who wrote the very first anti-trafficking legislation that went through our Congress. And I'm all ready to take these intricate notes of how everyday people can make a difference and be abolitionists. And the first thing he said was pray. Mm. That it's, you have to pray. It's the biggest evil facing our world. And he said, my piece of legislation was dead 100 times, but I had people praying.
I think we miss, and not just in this particular case, but we do this so often, don't we? We want to be active, and we forget that we have the power of prayer, that the creator of the universe has invited, encouraged us to be in constant contact with him through prayer. And so many times it becomes the default setting. Well, we tried everything else. I guess we ought to pray, instead of saying, let's pray and see what the Lord wants us to do.
Absolutely. And I say that all the time. I get that question a lot. Tell us what to do. I'm so fired up. Tell me tangibly what to do. And I always say back to people, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I mean, our book, Refuse to Do Nothing, has a lot of suggestions and ideas and what we've done. But ultimately, it's between you and God. If God has broken your heart over this, then ask him what he wants you to do. But I tell women, be careful, because he will tell you. He will tell you what he wants you to do. So, you know.
You might end up going to Cambodia or something, might you?
You never know. But, you know, I mean, and I really do believe, too, that God works through us. He created us. We're all individuals. And different things will, I always say, different things will spark our imaginations, you know. So your heart's breaking. And what is sparking your imagination? Is it, my church isn't doing anything, and I'm going to show up in my missions pastor's office every day for a week or every day for a month, and we're going to get stuff going, or I want to plan a conference in my town. Or it could be as simple as what my co-author started with, which was, I'm going to invite some friends over to my house and show them one of these documentaries. I'm just going to invite people to come over and watch a movie and get educated. I mean, whatever God sparks your imagination, everyone can start. Everyone can do something.
Absolutely. Websites or anything like that?
The best place for listeners to connect with us is on our Refuse to Do Nothing Facebook page.
Okay.
So, because that's where we post all sorts of stuff all day long, whether it's the hotline number or articles or organizations, or, I mean, that's a really great resource. And then another resource is you can send listeners to the InterVarsity Press /Refuse to Do Nothing, you know, the page of our book, because we also have videos that where Kim and I are talking that kind of go with the different sections of the book. So that's another good supplement if people are interested.
Shane Moore, our guest today on The Bookshelf, her co-author is Kimberly McOwen Yim. The book is Refuse to Do Nothing, Finding Your Power to Abolish Modern-Day Slavery, from IVP Crescendo, which is a division of InterVarsity Press. And I love how you end the book, and I'm going to quote you, "Zero tolerance and no excuses for any form of slavery must be our message. We have the power to re-abolish slavery." That's a great goal. That's right. A goal that's attainable.
Amen. Amen. The abolitionists of 200 years ago, they did it. Some of those people, they didn't live to see the Emancipation Proclamation signed, but they didn't give up, and they abolished it, and they're like, you know, they abolished it.
It's time for us to step in their shoes, do it again. Shane, thank you so much for joining us. This is powerful stuff, and I hope that people will get serious about it and will get involved in it and will pick up a copy of your book. Don't just sit around thinking about what an awful thing it is, but to actually go do something.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Once again, this week's guest has been Shane Moore, the co-author, along with Kimberly McOwen Yim, of Refuse to Do Nothing, Finding Your Power to Abolish Modern-Day Slavery, from IVP Crescendo, a division of InterVarsity Press. Check out InterVarsity Press at IVP.com, and you can also, again, check out their Facebook page, Refuse to Do Nothing, on Facebook, and you'll find out more information and also some videos and other resources that are available to you. Thank you so very much for joining us today on The Bookshelf. We'll see you next time right here on your favorite radio station. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and keep working to reabolish slavery. God bless.